Hey, so there's a pack of kids running down the alley. One sees all of them running, and one yells out, "Run!" And the other jumps into the crowd and begins to run, and they're going down another alley in the back streets, and two other kids see these kids running, and one of the kids in the crowd yells, "Run!" And they join the crowd. The crowd gets larger. They're all running. They're all looking back behind them, and they're running, and they're running, and they're running. And finally, after blocks of running, one of the kid grabs the other kid and says, "What are you running from?" And the other kid says, "I have no idea." Hey, what are we running from anyway? In a world where we're told not to be afraid, listen to the article this morning. It's from this morning. Flanked by the national security team, President Obama reassured Americans there was no specific credible threat against the country ahead of the holidays. Quote, "We do not have any specific credible information about an attack on the homeland," Obama said Tuesday at the National Counterterrorism Center. "That said, we have to be vigilant." Obama said security experts are constantly hard at work putting up safeguards to prevent terrorists from entering the country. Here's my comment. That seemed to be a joke. End of comment. While at the same time bringing the fight to terrorists plotting overseas. That seems to be a joke. End of comment. Here's what it says. Quote, "Obama also urged resilience in the wake of the attack in San Bernardino, California, calling it one of our greatest weapons in the fight against terrorism. When Americans stand together, nothing can beat us," Obama said. "We cannot give in to fear or change how we live our lives because that's what the terrorists want, and it's the only leverage they have." Now, in all of this, listen to the Yahoo News, which seems to be a little bit liberal in its standing. Quote, "It's a similar message to the one given in November by the president in the immediate wake of the terror attack in Paris, where he sought to reassure the American people that there was no specific credible threat facing the homeland during Thanksgiving holiday." Now, listen, this is telling, and this goes to the message today, time of sorrows, the Odin, the time of agony and pain, the time of terror. Now, listen, quote, "But following the attack in San Bernardino, an ABC News Washington poll put out on Wednesday showed 22% of Americans, 22% express confidence in what the government's saying concerning lone wolf terrorist attacks. Now, that being said, the world is running in fear. Billions of dollars are being set into place. Agencies are being developed, new heads of agencies, additional, security on every single level is being put up. And that's based on what's going on in the world. It would seem to me that just what's considered a small group of terrorists in the Middle East have the superpowers now engaged and the world standing at edge. National leaders, even Mr. Putin has to say it to his people. France's leader has to say it to theirs. And here's ours saying today, don't be afraid. But the confidence level in the government, 22%. How do you, listen, we're seeing a lot of people running, and there's a lot of people afraid, and do we just jump into the crowd, run, not knowing exactly where to stand? It's true that when devastating things are occurring, everybody wants to get away. Fire starts in a building, everybody wants to get out. So if we look at the world in a biblical sense, prophecy sense, the world's on fire in the spiritual battle, but also demonstrating itself in the world that we're living in, the collapsing, the breaking, the radical evil, the seeming inability of the nations, power, superpowers, even to stop. This across the board. And that goes to crime. That goes to the streets that you and I live in. Hey, this is the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad you're here. I want to tell you something today. There is an indestructible hope in the God that loves you. And there is a way to show. And listen, if you're a believer, there's a way to show God to the world in the midst of what's happening right now. And what's to come? Because if you're getting the heads up, if you're getting the preparation, And if you're standing in the, standing in the might of God himself, well, then I think that's going to be a demonstration to the world when fear begins to crack deeper into the souls and emotions and minds of hundreds and hundreds of millions. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You go to the website that backs all of it, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net, and you can listen many different ways. Click on where it says the Ragged Edge Radio worldwide. You could be led to the Global Star site. You can go to the media devices. Global Star 3 has a direct device. You can just tap it and listen to it directly. You can go to Global Star 5 and get devices to download into your tablet and phones. There's also a call-in number, 832-999-1763. That's 832-999-1763. Listen live. Glad you're here. This is the Time of Sorrow series we're doing. We're in part 5 tonight, Birth Pangs. The biblical Greek word is odin, meaning the agony at hand, the terror, the pressures, all of it there, because it's there to bring a birth, to open the door, to open the gates to something. I believe it's by design. I believe the terror at hand and the terror to come, the pressing of the world, well, it's by design. That's part of the issue, the battle. And I read something yesterday when a friend wrote that he was glad that it's so. By listening, it really opened his eyes to understand where the real battle lies. Now, that also means, and again, because we talk about the dark side itself, there's many, many more violent-oriented things happening. One of the things we're talking about over the last year or so is sleep paralysis. And I have been to so many conferences where I ask Christians in the room how many have experienced where it feels like something comes in the room at night, sits on your bed, presses you down, paralyzes you, and even speaks to you or tries to keep you in fear, and you're trying to call out the name of Jesus. And many millions of folks around the world don't even know what to do. They're just paralyzed. And we've said already that because of the increase of demonic presence, real beings, entities that are engaging, because of the increase of rituals, the summoning of demons and sending them, because of the increase into the millions of those doing astral projection, engaging. So there's a whole world that is supra-human and beyond just the natural realm. And the issue again is, how do we explain this? How do we explain the unprecedented rise in pharmakia, the drug trades? How do we explain the unprecedented brashness of sexual decadence? We're talking even necrophilia and the rest, coming out with books and materials and websites on how to. It all lends itself to what the scriptures warned about in the end of days that will literally grip and addict and plague and take the souls, the lives of billions who are unaided by the presence of God on the inside of their lives. So tonight on the Ragged Edge Radio, I want you to hear, as we talk about this time of sorrows again, Matthew 24. If you've not been listening since last week and you want the archives of part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, you can go there. Again, shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down where it talks about the series, the time of sorrows, and you'll see the little tab, archives. Go there to get the rest. Welcome to the world around 150, 160 nations. You're listening in. Glad you're here. Praying for you, too. Thank you for the emails. And the larger and broader things occur. And there's a reason why you're listening. And many first find the site by the grace of God. And many find it by just God's providence. And I'm so grateful that you have listened. Some have listened and they've heard the gospel and they've come to Christ and their lives have been altered and changed. And that's what this broadcast is all about. So with no shame whatsoever to say to you, anywhere in the world, on the streets and the universities and the political courts, I would say the same. There is a indestructible hope. There's a way to know God directly. And there's an answer to why we're experiencing all of this in the world. So Matthew 24 talks about the political economic, which involves the, military, and then it involves the economics. So the political, militaristic, and then the economic is involved. Nations rising up against one another. And there's instigation. And deep into the instigation is the evidence of dark side presence. And it's guiding individuals into doing Satan's will. There's a scripture that speaks about that in Timothy, about being taken captive to do Satan's will. And that's going to continue to happen more and more as we see the days in front of us unfolding. Now, prophecy in scripture is literally future human history, already specified what's going to be occurring. And that's why we're able to give some insight to what's going on right now. Now, there are millions around the world right now. They have no idea. I mean, you got to understand, I was with individuals today, dear people that we love deeply. They don't use the internet. Sunday, we are engaged with some people. They have a church on their properties. They do a lot of ministry. They've been doing it for years of their lives. And they don't use the internet. And we've got to realize, even though so many of us, you, of course, listening, we're up on a lot of things. You're up on a lot of things. Many of you that listen to this broadcast, you listen to the Hagmans, you listen to Quail, you listen, you know, across the board, you're listening to a lot of individuals. And that's important to get insight and to really have specifics. Now, because of that, this is important. Listen to what I say again about this little poll that came out. I think three or four different news media groups. 22% of American society, only 22% have confidence in the government currently right now. And I can see what you're saying right now. I agree. Philippians chapter 2 talks about the believer living in a crooked, depraved generation, a world in which we see the corruption, we see the inability, we see the ineffectiveness, we see the hypocrisy. We see a lot of things. And what's vital is, and I think that a lot of politicians are clueless in this sense. They have no idea what where the real battle's at. And they're battling without any spiritual armor. They're battling without any ability to ward off this whole project of the dark side. Revelation 12, dark side presence has a global agenda to lead the entire world astray. So in that context, how do you and I, who are believers in Christ, and we would, you know, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And this is pretty important because when we talk about the church, the body of Christ being the pillar and foundation of the truth, we talk about the scriptures being the word of truth, having the spirit of God in you, the spirit of truth. We're to have the armor of God on and live by appropriating that truth and living in that truth. Listen, a Christian is to live never lying. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal. That's bottom line. I mean, that's normal in a believer's life. Outside of that, we'd have hypocrisy or someone that's not even a Christian. Please understand, there are those that are claiming to be Christians that are only culturally connected. I mean, they've been to a building, they've been to a stained glass, they lit a candle, they went to a Christmas service, they were christened as a baby, but they no more know God than the angry atheist down the street. So it's not being, you know, it's not a Christian by association. Your parents were, your grandparents were, you went once to a church when you were a child, you have a feeling for, you can even go to a building, you can hear music, you can see stained glass windows. That could all be nice, But it doesn't make you. So we have to really know this. The evidence of what a real believer is, Romans 8. It's found in the book of 1 John, clearly chapter 2. I mean, bottom line question is, do you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you or not? Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. And this is what you need to know that's important, because if God is on the outside, here's the good news right this moment. God wants to come onto the inside of your life. The living Savior Christ wants to come on into the inside of your life with His presence and power and salvation. It's about knowing God. It's about a relationship, let alone His power and the work of salvation in changing you from the inside out and prepping you for eternal life. So tonight I want to talk about real believers, Spirit of God dwelling in you. You love the Word of God. You're growing. Five things you can do to live out being the light to the rest of the world. You know, again, if the world's running down the street like crazy and they're running and they seem terrified and they're just yelling, run, 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 run. Do we just jump into the crowd and start running, not even knowing what it's all about? Listen, number one tonight, this is very important. Don't live clueless. I mean, literally, don't live clueless concerning what's happening, you know, in all the world around us. I mean, I want to tell you something. I'm going to confess to you what I did when I was a kid. When I lived in Akron, Lindsay Avenue, and we're talking many, many years ago. We're 8, 9 years old, 10-year-old kids, 11-year-old kids. We loved to be out in the snow, and we loved to be at the corner where 10, 20 of us at times would be. When cars pull up and stop at the stop sign, some of us would be waving to the driver, talking to the driver. 4 or 5 of the others would bend down with their shoes, you know, on the snow in the road, and just latch onto the bumper, and the car would drive away, and it's like a little skiing trip until you fell off or rolled over or something. And that's what we did for fun as kids. And here's something all of us knew as kids. I don't know who started this, but it was kind of common among all of us. If a car came up to the stop sign, rolled the window down, and said, "Hey, kids, how do you get to such and such street?" We would look at each other, because we've done this before again and again, and it was kind of known. We would look at the driver very seriously and explain the absolute wrong way. We would just give them directions that would lead them the opposite way. That was bad as kids. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on when it comes to trinket spirituality, the new age, the counterfeit, the masquerade of the enemy. You engage the spirit guides, you engage the entities, you engage the aliens, you engage the dead, as they call themselves. The world 2,000 years ago, to convict and convince means to bring a conviction of, but also a convincing of, to the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So this is a great news that God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in all the world, engaging all of us. And you might be listening right now, and the Spirit of God might be seeking to convict and convince you of the truth of Christ. Listen, for believers, don't live clueless. People are going to ask you for directions in life. They're going to ask you for why. There's conversations coming up all over the place. Let me mention a few of those. The world is afraid, and I've shared this story over and over again of Mr. Putin saying at a global news network, massive. I mean, it's global, and he spoke to the world when he talked about what's happening in the world, and then he declared, "Everybody's afraid. Everybody's afraid." That's, again, the leader of Russia is talking about his perspective of the world. And I'm going to say I agree. I mean, listen, you could be on the island fishing and you could be doing many things, shopping, and you're out getting a cup of coffee. And there's things that we love to do and things that I love to do and go places and whatever. I talked to a friend last night. He's on vacation out skiing. So there's a lot of things that we're doing. We're having fun. I mean, the kids are playing basketball, football season's over, soccer's going to be coming, up down the road, and, all of this continues. But there is in the air that feeling that something go wrong. Now, the leader of the United States was trying to convince Americans that nothing's going to happen during the holidays. But that was said again prior to Paris and prior to San Bernardino. And 22% are that we're talking what now? 78% don't believe that. So the world's afraid. And as believers in the world that we live in, we could be, you know, well, listen, cautious, you can lock your doors at night and so forth like that. But I'm going to tell you this, that I don't live clueless in the sense that I'm not going to live afraid because I do know what's going on. I do know what's happening. I do know what's coming. And I know that more of it's coming. And I want to bring a warning to the world about what is coming and why it's coming and how more of the terror, that's the subtitle to this series. The terror that is and the terror that's coming. If you think we've seen something in the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, as horrific as some of it is, it does not scratch the surface of what is coming. But I don't live in fear. Matter of fact, the decision is to live in bold faith to be able to stand out, because the scripture in the Proverbs talks about fear of man is a snare. Living in fear is really a snare. And living in fear is what I think even the dark side loves. They love to create fear. They love to create the panic and the fear and the suppression and the shutting down and the crippling of individuals. Christians living in fear are crippled spiritually. Knowing Christ in obedience to the word and filled with the Spirit of God, you will not be afraid. You're going to be growing stronger and stronger. The commands of Scripture. I mean, just take Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And God says, haven't I commanded you? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. We're to be strong and courageous. And we have, this is a personal word from God. For the Lord your God shall be with you wherever you go. And I'm going to tell you again, that is my experience in 40 years. God is with me. He never left me. Always here. The Lord stands by my side. But that's what the scriptures teach. And that's part of the confidence of the believer. And so don't be afraid to look at prophecy. Don't be afraid to look at what's going to be happening in the world. Don't be clueless. The more you have insight biblically to what's going to be happening in the world, then you see what's going on in the world. You don't live afraid. I don't live afraid for myself. I'm concerned for the world. I'm concerned for people that don't know Christ. I'm concerned. That's why I am here speaking. Don't be clueless. The world is not only afraid, it's asking questions. You know, asking questions. Why? Why can't mankind stop this? Why don't nations stop things? Why can't superpowers stop this? Why can't, you know, law enforcement? And so the pressures are put on the fields of law enforcement and military and so forth to stop everything. And yet, the realities of sin in the heart of man, the realities of this agenda in the end of days is to stir up nation against nation and the battles and the bloodshed and the famines and pestilences and the earthquakes in various... It really, you know, the dark side is engaging the world to create, and I said this in an earlier broadcast, the destabilization, the dismantling, the confusion, the fear, the scrambling, because it's all about the coming collapse. The world is afraid, the world's asking questions, and the world seeks hope. Three things. It's afraid, it's asking questions, and it does seek hope. And if you and I are believers in Christ, and you do know the Word of God, and you do know, and you are walking with, then listen, you can be an astounding light in the world to point not only to the reasons why it's happening and what else is coming and answer questions about that and show people, I mean, literally show them pieces of scripture. I told the story, this happened years ago, and I had gone to the YMCA, and I only kept my membership there because when I go to the hot room and sit in there, people come in and I get, you know, I pray it up a little bit, but I get to witness to people at times. I told the story where four or five big muscle guys, I mean, you know, these guys are in their early 20s and big muscles, no shirts on and tattoos and all that. And they come in the hot room. They're all talking. And one guy says out loud in the hot room, it's about 190 in the hot room. And he says, man, it's hot as hell in here. I said, I looked up. I had a smile. I looked up. I said, I don't think so. And it began a conversation of these young guys concerning the end of the world, 2012, the Mayan prophecies. One guy begins to talk about what his grandmother says. One guy says, well, I heard about this. Another guy says something else. So I got to begin to share scripture, share biblical truth, begin to tell them what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Well, one individual sitting next to me says, man, when I get home, I'm going to get home. My grandmother has a Bible. I'm going to get that Bible out. And I'm going to start reading it again. And I got to share the gospel in the context of things, told them where to go and pointed them in a certain direction. So I'm going to tell you, listen, at the coffee shop, at the mall, at the fellowships that you're going to have with family, the world is feeling fear. The world's feeling and asking questions because they're confused and they can't understand. And the world needs some hope. Listening to a political leader, you hear them speak, but they cannot, it's sad, but they cannot give you this. Thus, 78% of the nation, United States, they're saying in this poll, has no confidence in what the government can do, and I would even say that they're saying. It's a real breakdown right now. But I'm going to say to the believer right now, don't live clueless. And I really believe that if we go to the scripture, if we go again and study, and I'm again, we're going to keep offering you everything we possibly can. We have the site up, prophecyprepared.com. We have a number of hours up already, but we're going to be putting some video teaching where I'm going to do some teaching up. We're going to have a whole bunch of sessions coming up. And I think not only does, listen, what you have inside of you, you ever read Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, 16? About let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Isn't that a great thing? Let the peace of God rule. Then the next verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So what? So you can teach, so you can share, so you can counsel. So that when you find that believers are giving way to fear, you can bring an exhortation, pulling them out of that fear and into faith and into, listen, if you're living in fear, you're crippled spiritually. You can't really reach the world. If you're living in a deep lack of understanding and the world's asking questions, what can you give them? It's like the kid that, you know, mom and dad goes to church and they've been doing this for years. A 9-year-old kid, you know, raised in church, goes up to dad and says, dad, what does it mean in the Bible about the Antichrist? I don't know. Go ask your mother. Why doesn't dad know? Kids calculate. Don't live clueless. The world doesn't know, and really, it's like, as we see in Scripture, it's a sheep without a shepherd. And they're looking for clear, definitive answers. But can I add something else, number two? If you are not going to be light to the world, really, don't be clueless. Be packed with the insight that God gives. And let that be the encouragement and the faith builder of your life. And as you are standing out there holding out the word of life, again, Philippians chapter 2, you know, this is the way we, you know, we are the luminaries. We are the light that shines in the darkness, the dismal darkness, and you're to hold out the word of truth. But number two, let me say this, do it with compassion. Can I ask you, in the midst of all of the, now, Listen, in the midst of everything that's going on right now, and I'm even looking to the left of me at a screen in Macedonia about changing the name. It looks like tens of thousands of people out in the streets. You know, we have here in Baltimore, we have, you know, in, well, all over right now. Germany's in upheaval. Now they want to close borders or stop, or they want to change things. The world's being overwhelmed with troubles. Compassion. I think that's a big part of all of this. Now, listen, if you get some time tonight, take a read of the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Because you have there the context of prophecy. John the Baptist is prophesied to come in advance to be the one crying out of the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. So you have him there speaking and preparing, and he's actually a fulfillment of prophecy. You have Christ on the scene, fulfillment of prophecy. And three things occur in the chapter that continues throughout the entire gospel. The unleashing of the salvation. That's why he came. He's a savior. He's called the savior. He's here to save us from our sin, from the destruction, from hell, from the confusion. The world needs a savior. The sad part is in the manipulation of the world, the dark side wants to present a counterfeit we call the Antichrist. And those embracing the spirit of Antichrist are being prepped for the future, whether that's the esoterics, whether that's old occultism, the deeper Luciferian, even the Muslim world is being prepared for an imam, an Antichrist. In the world that I live in right now, because of all that's going on, Jesus warned in Matthew 24, because of the abounding or the abundance or the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. When you see it all around you at times, sometimes it's just shut the doors if you don't have anything else to do, if you're clueless, if you're powerless. But I look in chapter 1 of Mark and I see when someone comes before Jesus and they bring their life before him and the Bible. And here's what I love about Jesus. All of a sudden, now we have God in human flesh, a human being comes to him looking for help. And here's what the Bible says. Filled with compassion, he healed the man. I look at that and I see a savior. I see who I want. Everything in Scripture tells us this is God in human flesh. This is what God is like. One time Philip said, Jesus, you know, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, do you not know me? I mean, this idea is, you don't even know me? He broke Greek syntax. He said, I and the Father, we are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the principle. Thomas finally got it later on after the death and the resurrection. And the resurrected Christ stood before him. He fell to his knees and cried out, my Lord and my God, capital G. But I love it. I love the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. When I see all of the preparation that God gave in the coming of the Savior appearing himself to the world in fulfillment of that prophecy, which is astounding. And then I see what he speaks is the proclamation of salvation. That is why he's come. If you're listening anywhere else in the world right now to this broadcast, the reason Christ came is to save you. He's come for you. The reason he entered the world is to reach you. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you hear the gospel, if you hear the message, let me tell you clearly, I don't care if you're on the street, at the bar where we went, university, or this radio broadcasting, that God has come to save you. He's grabbed a hold of the lapels of your soul. He's grabbed a hold of the shirt of your heart. To say, come home. Let me in. I've come to save you. to wash you and cleanse you and to come inside of you, to bring the power of God, to give the gift of indestructible, immortal, eternal life. So you can directly know God now, here and now, and then see God face to face. So when I see the compassion in a world where there's not a whole lot of it, and as the world gets more radically evil and hardcore and it's all around us and we're putting triple locks out and people are concealing carrying and, you know, there's a real concern to hoard, to hide, to survive. Colossians 3 tells us to clothe ourselves with Christ. It includes compassion. You see the needy world. Do you ever look? And it just fills you with compassion. Sheep without a shepherd. And it and at times it even, you know, I look and see what the dark side is doing, the deception, and I see what's happening in the world. And, you know, there's this passion to get to everybody and to reach out to every single heart. I see the angry atheist yelling and screaming and whatever. And clueless, he didn't know what he's talking about. He can't answer the questions of life. The agnostic, the atheist, the Stephen Hawkings of the world, they cannot answer these questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? How do you find God? Did you know that God's seeking to find you if you don't know him? He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. I don't care if you're Arab, I don't care if you're Israeli, I don't care if you're Russian, I don't care, you know, black, white, red, doesn't make any difference. If you understand that God has come to the cross, and it's in the book of Timothy chapter 2, pos anthropos is the biblical Greek, that he is the he's come for the salvation of the whole of humanity. This is why I have no problem looking somebody in the face and with every ounce of confidence and conviction and reality and compassion, I can look at them in the face and say, God loves you. God wants you to know him. God wants to come into your life. God wants to bring his forgiveness, bring life, bring eternal life. He wants to bring you up out of death and sin and hell itself and bring you home. I have no problem with that. I don't have to back away from anyone, anywhere. In the worlds of transhumanism and science and occultism and all the rest, I'm not going to back away from any of that because the presence and power of God is in the gospel. Paul can say this in the front of the Pax Roma, in front of the big educational centers, in front of the big militaristic system, in front of the emperor worship of Rome, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. If you're listening, you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you call it into him, you repent of your sin, you turn to him, he comes into your life right here, right now. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God summons all people everywhere. When Paul was speaking that in the book of Acts to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, to the great intellectuals that would babble on and on and on and on and on and on about all the wisdom and all the things of life, all the information. And Paul came to the Areopagus, to the place of the intellectuals, to unveil a kind of a history of God and what God is doing, and that God is now summoning all people everywhere. If you're on the islands, he's summoning you. If you're in the Scandinavian nations, he's summoning you. If you're there in Alaska, he's summoning you. If you're there in Zimbabwe, he's summoning you. Thailand, Israel, doesn't make any difference. Listen to me right now. The Spirit of God, God is summoning you. Come to Christ. Believe in Christ. I pray that the burden for the souls of men and women will fall upon you in Jesus' name. I pray that as we see Jesus, God, we see the brilliance of him, the character of him in Mark's Gospel chapter 1. And all of a sudden, a man in great need comes and here's God, and he's filled with compassion, and he healed the man. I pray that God will heal many of you listening. I pray that God will bring extraordinary miracles to deliver you and save you and get you out. I pray for the hardcore pimps of drugs and human trafficking and drugs. Come out of it. And there's a word that was preached in the book of Acts where the message was, save yourselves from a corrupt generation. How do you do that? You repent of it, you come out of it, you turn to Christ. Point three tonight, if you're a believer, I think a great picture to the world is compassion. Even when you're talking about going to the hardcore and the angry. Some people are so filled with anger on the streets right now, they don't even know how to listen to God. They're not helping the problems. They're fueling them. Point three tonight, there is no other hope. Really? Listen, let's really come down to this, because the New Age, and this is what counterfeit spirituality, again, this is what Scripture has taught and Jesus talked about. Number one, don't let anybody deceive you. Many's going to come in his name. There's going to be people coming with all kinds of paths. And I was in Esperanza, France, some time back, and I saw a man dressed like Pan playing a flute in a little festival there, and I had to go witness to him. He was from England. He quoted Shakespeare to me. I quoted the gospel to him. And he said, there's many paths. He says, I see that you are on the path of Christ. And he has another path. And I'm like, no, there's one path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I mean, there's many ways that lead to destruction. Here's the good news. There's one singular door, clear, and with God's voice and God's passion in it. Here's the way to home. Here's the way to come to God. Through Christ. You read the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am that I am. You read the great I ams in the Gospel of John, the door. So the spirit of Antichrist, the dark side, is going to constantly pump out all kinds of spiritual paths to individuals. And I told this, 6-7 years ago when we started here on these broadcasts, that the dark side, according to biblical revelation, and according to what I've seen, and even what I was engaged with back in the late 60s, early 70s, whole bunch of spiritualities, when the fallen ones, the planos spirits, the seducing spirits, the spirit of Antichrist, they're going to offer a lot of ways, none that lead to God. The Spirit of God is going to speak and direct you straight to Christ. You've got to understand that. That's why I want to sit back, and you could sit, and all that time I spent trying to seek Buddha in the temple. Buddha was dead. Buddha never came back. Buddha's gone. They didn't have the capacity in that temple to understand who the ascended masters were, other than that they were being deceived. So I'm going to tell you again, there's no other, when I say hope, a sure, infallible, indestructible, glorious hope. It's Christ. Listen, because he loves you, because he wants you, because he came to die on the cross for you, because he seeks you and may have led you to this broadcast, to this recording. If you're on a spiritual path, has it led you to God, knowing God? Has it led you to the very living presence of God coming in, and that you just know God on a personal level? You ever read John's Gospel chapter 17, and you'll see the interaction of Christ, God the Son, with God the Father, the discussion that goes on. Jesus says at one point in there, and Father, that I myself might be in them. Salvation involves the fix. forgiveness and new life and the breaking of the sin code, the breaking of the death code, the breaking of Satan's authority. But it also involves when all of that, all of the mess is cleared up by the brilliance of the work of God. It's all about that relationship. To bring you into relationship. So the rest of the world, I don't know if they understand what hope means, what hope involved is, it, you know, is involved in this and where it comes from. We're talking about a hope that brings assurance without question of everlasting life. It is a hope that comes from the hand of God. From beginning to end, the scriptures declare that. From beginning to end, the prophets declare that. The apostles declare that. The elect angels of God that were involved, they declare that. It comes from the hand of God. God's doing this. God has done this. God has sought me when I was lost in spiritual paths that were counterfeit to the real. And the demons were masqueraded in drawing me in one direction. You know what it involves? God intervening. God interrupting. God even convicting. You know, God says, hey, you're the sinner. You're lost. Inside you there is death. Inside you there is, you're going to lose your soul. But with great passion, because of the love of God, there's one thing he wants, you to be saved. I read again in Timothy 2, even in the prayers for the lost, church, body of Christ, in the prayer. So this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wills, pas anthropos, all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. And I believe that's the body of Christ. That's what I tell people. I got friends that listen to this radio broadcast, people that I love out there in Oregon and other places that aren't even believers. At times, they just argue with me. I had a father that I loved when I first got saved, cussed me out, and continued to cuss me out for 23 years. Till he got saved. Till after all those years of praying and waiting, and seeing his arrogance. You know why? In prophecy, in the context of prophecy, 2 Peter chapter 3. Why hasn't Christ come yet? Because God is long-suffering. He is patient. He's not willing that anybody perish. God's patience means salvation. Is there someone listening tonight that you know your family and others have been after you? Maybe your own spouse has been after you and after you and after you? And you've just held a wall. Can I ask you why? What good it's done you? Satan would love to give you all the excuses in the world, and you could stand there in arrogant anger and just put a wall up before God till the day you enter hell and are lost forever. Any reason why, truly, you can't give your life to Christ tonight? For believers, we need to be speaking like this. Don't live clueless. Live with the compassion that God gives and fills you with and will be demonstrated to the world as really astonishing. The compassion of God coming through your life can be felt, can be seen. It is Christ manifesting. There is no other hope. There really is not. Again, the angry atheist intellectual of the world, the Richard Dawkins, the brilliant scientists that think they know everything on a material level that says heaven is a fantasy, it's all a fairy tale, sits in a chair crippled with no hope, no answers. And I believe the believer, when you're walking, there's this, what you have and what you know and what you can give. So that's where I'm going to bring point four into this. In the context of the time of sorrows, which is the beginning of the agonies of the human race, the agonizing pulse and terror and destruction and hurt and pain that will produce the worst time and the worst destruction in human history. It's the time of sorrows, the birth pangs, the Odin. Knowing this, here's what I want to say. Live against the deadly current. Live against the deadly current. I bring the picture again of David and Goliath. Goliath on the field, Goliath screaming, Goliath the terror, Goliath terrorizing, Goliath, you know, huge and monstrous. And all the great soldiers are up in the rocks, doing nothing but hiding, nothing but surviving. And God is not speaking to them. And God is not working among them. But a kid comes out and just spiritually, you know, I say it this way, burns my britches to see what we see. Spiritually, he was outraged with radical evil. The outrage was so much huger than the concepts of fear. And so that outrage led him onto the field in the presence of and the power of God to bring down the monsters of radical evil. And so I believe that even in the end of days, you know, you could read Revelation 12. The prediction is that, you know, there's going to be believers that won't shrink from. They overcome the dragon. They overcome the full onslaught of Satan's agenda and presence by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. You might want to memorize Revelation 12:11 and know it well. But I would say for all believers to live in the biblical sense of fierce. Joshua was fierce and Josiah was fierce. And there's times David demonstrated being fierce, meaning fearless in the presence of and in the mission of God, because God backed them. I believe Philip in Acts 8 was completely fierce in the sense of against the presence of radical evil there in that city. The power of God and the kingdom of God was so overwhelming that he just took it all on by himself. Live against the deadly current. Live against the listen, it's all moving in one direction. It's all falling. It's all crisis after crisis. You know, it's the walls are tumbling. People are running. People are wanting to run with them. Every believer's got to stand their ground, but beyond standing the ground, come against the current. To stand as light in the world, to stand with the hope of the world, stand with the compassion of Christ, stand with the gospel of God against the deadly current. Can I say something clearly? Never give in to this deadly current. Never give in to the old flesh and the fears and just become like the world, like a stinking, smelling, carnal Christian. You ever read 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2? Carnal Christians are by will so crippled, they smell and act as mere men. The fallen mankind. Don't get caught up. See, a lot of Christians even got caught up in Nazi Germany. A lot of Christians get caught up in a lot of things. You know, what mission? What are you caught up in? The disciples were caught up in the mission of Christ, the kingdom of God that is unshakable. Leads me to the last point. 4 minutes left. Fight evil as a victor. See, I've been delivered out of it. I've been delivered out of it. I've been told in 1 John 5 that my Savior, that my, you know, he's going to protect me from the evil one. You know, I've got this incredible packed message in Psalm 91. I'm going to be protected. I'm going to use my authority. I'm going to live in the armor of God, of course. I'm going to choose not to give way to fear. But that's not all. I want to give way to boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. A boldness that brings the beauty and power of Christ to the streets, to the bars, to the houses, to the nursing homes, to the officers and to the soldiers and to the firefighters and to everyone. God has commissioned the believer to go to every single human being, go to the highways and byways, and compel them to come in. So I'm going to fight evil as a victor. You know, evil is evil, and it's not going to back away. That's the truth in Scripture. That's the reality. It's going to be Christ alone, Revelation 19, that's going to end this. But it can end in our hearts right now. The reign of evil, the reign of sin, the reign of Satan's rights in your life, it ends when we come to Christ. Christ is here now. The Spirit of God is here now. The ownership is God. I know what evil is. I'm going to reject what evil is. I'm going to expose what evil is. Romans chapter 12. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil by good. Living as light in the world, living as a witness in the world, living with great prayer impact. You know, the wicked queen Mary, wicked queen, feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Radical evil all around us. Listen, the believers that know how to pray and stand against evil, and listen, stand against it, speak against it, pray against it. It's sad to me that the average church spends 12 to 18 seconds in prayer and has nothing to do with saving the city and God's power coming and any inkling of praying against evil. It's an exhibit of powerlessness. It's an anomaly. It's a horrible caricature of what the body of Christ really is to be. You want to know what the body of Christ is really to be in a local setting, in local churches? Look at Acts 4. Evil is evil. It's not going to back away. Know what it is. I know what it is. Reject it deeply. Expose it well, Ephesians 5. Overcome it, Romans 12. Overcome it. Don't be overcome by it. Don't back off from it. Overcome it with good. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast this night. Glad to be with you again. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your kindness. Remember us in these days. Hey, I may be gone tomorrow, so a replay. It depends. ShadowTheDarkness.net. Remember us in support. For those who are able, take a look at that page for investment, funding us. Blessings. Good night.